Let's begin with a word of prayer as we start our subject tonight on carbohydrates. So let's pray. Father in heaven, our Lord, we come before you, our Creator, and Father, we seek that you would show us your wisdom and bless us with your Spirit tonight. And Father, you designed us, and we pray that we may learn how to properly take care of these temples that are made for the indwelling of your Spirit. And so join us now, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so this evening we're going to be taking a look at carbohydrates. And this is the nutrient that should make up the most of our diet. This should make up about 60 to 70% of our calorie intake. 60 to 70% of our calories should come from carbohydrates. And it's not a very difficult thing to do, because carbohydrates are the most abundant nutrient in food that is mostly plant-based. So it's the most abundant nutrient found in plant foods. And this is a lesson that God teaches us, that we should be getting the most of this particular nutrient, otherwise it would not be found in abundance in the plant kingdom. And so the reason that we need carbohydrates in the greatest amount is because this is the main source of energy that our body uses. And it's the most healthy way for our body and for our brains to use energy. And the brain needs this type of energy to work the most efficiently. If it gets it from another source, it greatly hinders the ability of the brain to work properly. However, not all the carbohydrates are the same. We have to be careful what kind of carbohydrate that we're eating the most of. And before we look at that, we're going to look at where a carbohydrate comes from. So here we have the chemical formula for a carbohydrate. There's many different carbohydrates, but they all have this same formula, which is C6H12O6. And there's another way to look at that. You can see that there's six carbons here, plus six waters, H2O, that's water. So a carbohydrate is made up of six carbons chemically bonded with six waters. And here is how that process works. It's a really incredible process how the Lord has created the plants to create the carbohydrate. The six carbon dioxides plus six waters form to give a carbohydrate plus six oxygens. So the plant takes the water in from the roots, and the carbon dioxide it takes in from the air, and using the energy from the sunlight, it will combine those to form a carbohydrate, and in that process it will release oxygen into the air. And so when we eat the carbohydrate, it's broken down into water plus carbon dioxide, which we breathe out, and the energy that was used to combine it, we use that for energy when it's broken apart. And so it's a cycle. It's a cycle that God has created, the cycle of life, and it's incredible. It's very efficient because it continues to recycle the same products over and over. And so we can see that our God is very wise indeed. Carbohydrates can be divided into two main categories, and that is the simple carbohydrates and the complex carbohydrates. All the carbohydrates are made up of sugar molecules, and that's what that formula was. It was one sugar molecule. And the simplest of the simple carbohydrates are the monosaccharides, and mono means one, and saccharide is sugar, so one sugar. They're made up of just one single sugar. And there's three main monosaccharides, and that is glucose, fructose, and galactose. And these monosaccharides, they bind together to form the disaccharides, and of course, di is two, so two sugars. So a glucose plus a glucose will give you maltose. And that is the type of sugar, maltose is the type of sugar that's found in the grain products. And a glucose plus a fructose creates sucrose, and that's the sugar that is, it's table sugar, but it's also the sugar that's found in fruits. And then glucose plus galactose makes lactose, which is milk sugar. That's the sugar found in milk. And so these are the simple carbohydrates. And the complex carbohydrates are called polysaccharides, and they make up the starches and the fiber that we get in our diet. And a polysaccharide is made up of a bunch of simple sugars bound together in chains. So that's kind of an example of what a polysaccharide might look like. Okay, so now that we have a little overview, brief overview of carbohydrates, what are the best we should choose for good health? And we're going to look at a biblical principle to help us to decide. In Proverbs chapter 24, 13, it says, "My son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste." And so here is a scripture that encourages us to eat honey. However, when we study the Bible, we need to study it in the same way that we eat our food, and that is, we don't just have one thing on the plate. We need to have a variety. We need to take a little bit from here and a little bit from there. And so we cannot build in the same way. We can't build a doctrine on just one verse. We need to see what the Bible has to say as a whole. So if we turn just one chapter further in the book of Proverbs, it says, "Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it." And just a few verses later after that verse, it says, "It is not good to eat much honey." So the Bible tells us we can eat honey because it is good and it tastes sweet, but then it warns us to only eat as much as we need, and then finally it says it's not good to eat much honey. So why would that be? Well, honey is a product that is made up largely, maybe entirely, besides some other nutrients, of the simple carbohydrates. And it has no fiber. And that type of food, the simple carbohydrates without fiber, are unhealthy for our bodies in large amounts. And this also includes something such as table sugar, which does not have any fiber, and it's a simple sugar, and other refined products, other refined food products, refined carbohydrates that don't have any fiber or little fiber, and are made up of largely of the simple carbohydrates. We're going to take a look at what problems the too much of the simple carbohydrates can cause. Okay, the simple carbohydrates or the refined products can rob our body of vitamins because refined products have little or no nutritional value. They're mainly energy, so they don't supply the vitamins and the minerals which our body needs to function properly. We're going to take a look at a refined product that is used largely, and that is the white flour. So here is a grain of wheat, and the wheat contains the wheat germ, and in the wheat germ, that's where you find some of the fatty acids and the fat-soluble vitamins, like vitamin E is a vitamin that's in the germ. And then you have the bran, and the bran is where most of the fiber is contained, and it also contains the B vitamins right there in the fiber. And then the endosperm is largely made up of just the carbohydrates. It's just energy in the inside. And so when this grain is refined, they will actually remove the germ. They take the germ off, and they'll sell that. And then they'll take off the bran, and they sell that as wheat bran. And you're left with just the endosperm. And these are some of the minerals and the vitamins that are removed in that process. 95% of the vitamin E is removed in the refining process. 87% of the vitamin B6, 76% of zinc, 75% of iron, 56% calcium, and 78% of fiber is all removed in that refining process. And then after they refine it, they'll add, I think it's folate, maybe it's niacin, one of the B vitamins they add, so about 4 vitamins, and then they say it's enriched, which is kind of a joke because they just robbed it of all these vitamins. And I wouldn't consider myself enriched after I've been robbed and given back a few dollars. So definitely this is a problem. You'll notice that there's not much left in that wheat kernel. And this is just a short list. There's other vitamins and minerals that are also removed. So not only are the refined products deficient in many vitamins and minerals, but carbohydrates require certain vitamins and minerals in order to digest them. And so if the food that we're eating does not contain those minerals or those vitamins in order to digest, then it will have to use up the body's own store. So it will rob the body of those vitamins and minerals in order to digest it. And that can cause a deficiency in certain vitamins and minerals, which can lead to a number of health problems. In the third world countries, many years ago, only the rich people could afford to eat the white rice. And so the poor people could only eat the brown rice. And through technology and the ability to refine, it became more available to the poorer class. And since the rich people are the ones who had the white rice the most, the poor people just began to buy white rice all the time because they didn't want to be looked upon as they were poor. And shortly after that, a lot of symptoms of a disease, I believe it's called beriberi, started to show up, an epidemic of this disease. And they couldn't figure out what it was, until they realized that it was caused by a thiamine deficiency, which is vitamin B1, I believe. Because when they removed all the vitamins from the rice, the people were not getting enough thiamine in their diet, and so they ran into all these diseases. And that's probably where the enrichment came from, so they put some of the thiamine back in there so that they wouldn't have that problem. But isn't it better just to get it in the first place with all the other vitamins and minerals that it contains? So it's the wisdom of the world is truly foolishness to the Lord. There's a quote which I don't know where it went. I thought I had it up here, but it's not. It's in Ministry of Healing, and Ellen White wrote, "For use in bread making, the super fine white flour is not the best. Its use is neither healthful nor economical. Fine flour bread is lacking in nutritive elements to be found in bread made from the whole wheat. It is a frequent cause of constipation and other unhealthful conditions." So it's best to use the whole grains and the whole wheat as much as we can. So it robs the refined products will rob the body of vitamins. It increases the risk of diabetes, and we're going to have a whole lecture on diabetes. Increases the risk of cancers. There are many, many types of cancers that are linked to the use of sugar. And I should have had this quote up there too, but Ellen White says that the large use of sugar is can be more unhealthful than even eating meat. So having lots of sugar is very, very bad for our system. Here's one reason also why it might increase the risk of cancer, because it also weakens the immune system. And they did a study on on how sugar consumption affects the white blood cells' ability to destroy bacteria. And they discovered that if someone consumed no sugar for 12 hours, that each white blood cell in their body could destroy an average of 14 bacteria every 30 minutes. When a person consumed 2 tablespoons of sugar, or 6 teaspoons, that's also 26 grams, then the white blood cells could only destroy 10 bacteria in that half an hour. And 4 tablespoons or 12 teaspoons, it was 5.5 bacteria every half an hour. And if they had 6 tablespoons or 18 teaspoons, that was only 2 bacteria in a half an hour. And if someone was to consume 8 tablespoons or 24 teaspoons, then the white blood cells could only destroy 1 bacteria every half an hour. And the effect that the sugar had on the white blood cells lasted for 5 hours. So if someone ate these refined sugars all day, then their body would be in a continual state of weakness, and they would be at greater risk for any disease, whether it's the common cold or cancer, because their immune system is greatly weakened. And we need to remember that the body is God's temple, and we need to take care of it. Another thing that they found in this study that was that if the person went on a 36-hour fast, that it actually increased the white blood cells' ability to destroy bacteria. And often when we're sick, we're not hungry, and that is the body's signal to show that we shouldn't eat, that we should let the body heal. So fasting for a time will help us to recover more quickly. Now, some people may think, well, this chart doesn't concern them because they would never have 24 teaspoons of sugar. That's a lot. 8 tablespoons, that's way too much. Well, it may be so, but we need to be watchful because sugar is hidden in all sorts of different places. And we often don't realize how much we are consuming. For example, one of those cans of those soft drinks, they have about, I think it says 44 or 50 some grams of sugar in the 20 ounce bottle, some more, some less. And there's about 4 grams of sugar per teaspoon. So let's just say 44. If you divide 44 by 4, then you have 11 teaspoons. And so if someone just drinks one of those soft drinks, then they've already decreased their immune system by over half. And most people usually eat a candy bar with one of those, and those have probably 5 or 6 teaspoons. And so then you can see where they can be down here, where their immune system is only destroying 2 bacteria. And if someone has a large cake or other, it builds up during the day. So if someone, they say, well, I would never have 8 tablespoons. Well, you might not just sit down and eat that straight, but it's hidden in all sorts of foods that people eat. So it becomes a problem. Here are just some different names that they call sugar. I don't have sucrose on here. There should be sucrose. They have sucrose, glucose, fructose, honey, malt extracts. There's barley malt and other malts. Corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup, glucose syrup, glucose fructose syrup, and evaporated cane juice. And they have also evaporated cane juice syrup. So there's all sorts of different names for sugar. And in the ingredient list, everything is listed in the order of the amount of the ingredient by weight. And so if something is higher in the list of ingredients, that means there's more of that by weight. And often what the companies will do is they will use more than one type of sugar so that it's lower down in the ingredient list by weight, even though if you took all the sugar together, then it would be a lot more than what you're seeing. if there's no sugar in the diet for 12 hours, one white blood cell can destroy 14 bacteria in 30 minutes. So in a half an hour, that one white blood cell is able to kill 14 bacteria. And then you can see the rest of the chart as you get 6 teaspoons, 12 teaspoons, 18 teaspoons. The amount of bacteria that a single white blood cell can destroy in 30 minutes is significantly reduced. And if you think about it, I wish I would have had the numbers of how many white blood cells you have in your body, but it's quite a bit. And so if you get a 1,400% decrease, it can really drastically reduce your immune system's ability. And what the slides I was missing was, because some people will say, well, that's not a problem. I would never get that much sugar in my diet. For example, 24 teaspoons, 8 tablespoons, that's a lot of sugar. And I had some slides which did not save, and they're going to show how much sugar are in some of the products that are consumed. Each of these cubes, it's a teaspoon of sugar. And so one can of soda here has, it looks like 10 or maybe 9.5 teaspoons of sugar. And if someone, usually people drink this size, and that's a whole lot more there, you can just see the amount of sugar in these products is quite high in the soft drinks, the energy drinks, even the juices. The fruit juices have sugar because they are refined and they have a lot of sugar. Regular fruit does have sugar, but it has fiber, which slows the release of that sugar into the bloodstream, whereas juices don't have that. Here is a candy bar, quite a bit in a candy bar, or some of these candies here. A lot of sugar in the bag, and then if someone wants to eat a whole pint of ice cream, then they're going to get quite a bit of sugar there, and then some of the gelatin. And your milkshake is incredibly a lot of sugar, and then you have a cinnamon roll. Cereal, that doesn't look like much, but most of this is air. A serving of cereal, if you look on the serving size, is very small, and most of that cereal is air. And you actually, if you look at the grams, how many grams per serving, it's usually very small, and you look at the grams of sugar, a lot of times it's a third sugar sometime, and it's, so it looks like not much there, but that's really not much cereal in a serving. So people do get a lot of sugar in their diet, and it was, I believe it was 24 teaspoons would bring that from 14 down to 1. And if you have a 1 milkshake, I mean, you're pretty much done for. Okay, the use of the refined products or the simple sugars can impair mental function, or the overuse, I should say, can impair mental function. This is a diagram of what happens when someone gets too much of the simple sugars in their diet. The brain, this red line, this red dotted line, or dashed line, that is the level of glucose which the brain requires to function properly. So the brain always needs a certain amount of glucose circulating in the blood to function properly. I think it may vary per person, but I think it's about 60 milligrams per deciliter. So this is what the brain needs. So here we have someone who has, let's say, if that's 70 or whatever, fasting blood glucose, so their brain is fine because it's getting what it needs. And then they eat some, let's say they drink a can of soda, and then their blood sugar will spike rapidly, and then the body will use that up very rapidly. It could be that the body will think that a whole bunch of food was eaten because of this spike in the sugar, and so it will release a large amount of insulin in order to take care of the food that is coming in. And insulin is the substance which our body uses in order to take the glucose and put it into the cells, because the cells need the sugar for energy. And because the refined sugars are absorbed so rapidly into the blood, then the blood glucose levels will drop just as rapidly as they rose because of the great release of insulin and the quick absorption of the glucose. It will drop down way below the required amount for our brains. And so during this whole time, that it takes before the body gradually gets back up to where it should be, the brain is impaired. You're not able to think as clearly, and even after the glucose level returns to normal, it takes an additional 45 to 75 minutes for proper mental function to return. So not only do you have this time while the blood glucose is making its way back up, then there's still an additional 45 to 75 minutes before one's mental function is restored to normal. And so you can see how it is very important for a Christian to avoid the overuse of the refined products and of the simple sugars, because we are told to be sober and to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And if our brains are in a condition, if you can imagine Christ before Gethsemane, if he put himself willingly in that position, he would not have had the mental capacity to face what was coming. He would not have been able to maintain that connection with the Lord if he would have willingly put himself in a situation like that. And so as Christians, it's important to be careful and to keep our brains running properly. Another thing about the low blood glucose level here is that it will result in hunger, because the body thinks that it needs more food in order to raise those levels back to normal. And that leads to eating more. And since the refined products are very dense in calories, it can lead to the next thing here, which is weight gain and obesity, because because of that low period, and people will feel hungry and feel like they need more. Refined carbohydrates can also increase the risk of heart attack, of stroke, of dental caries, and various other problems. And we have a whole lecture on heart disease and stroke, vascular disease. So these are just a few of the problems that refined carbohydrates have. But God never wanted us to have these problems. And for that reason, the Lord packaged food in a special way. And he included in that food a very special ingredient, and that is fiber. Fiber is essential for good health. And this, of course, is that nutrient that is removed in a large degree from foods that are refined. And that is also one of the reasons why the world is suffering from so many diseases. Man is not wiser than God. And so if we follow God's word concerning the refined foods and only eat foods the way he made them and use those types of foods sparingly, we can be free from many of the diseases that this world suffers from. We remember God's promise to us in Exodus, where it says, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." That's Exodus 15:26. So, what's so good about fiber? Why is it so important? Well, one thing is that fiber delays glucose absorption. Fiber will hold on to the simple carbohydrates and will keep them from absorbing into the bloodstream so fast. And that, of course, helps us to control our blood glucose levels. And this here is a diagram of what happens to your blood glucose levels when you eat a complex carbohydrate containing fiber. You'll see that there is an initial spike after you eat your food, but you'll see that the drop is not so sharp, and it never goes below the amount required for the brain. And so that is exactly how the Lord wants our bodies to operate. And this glucose absorption, the delay in the glucose absorption, is very important to help prevent diabetes. And it also is the way of reversing it. And it also helps the white blood cells from being paralyzed so that they're able to do their job, because there's never a whole lot of sugar in the bloodstream at once. And it will, of course, help our brain. Our mental acuity will be strong. And another thing that fiber, the important thing about fiber is that it has a binding power. It's able to bind to things such as the toxins and carcinogens in the body, and it can remove those from the body. And that, of course, will help to prevent cancer and other illnesses. And the binding power will also help to lower cholesterol levels. And we'll see how that process works when we look at the presentation on heart disease. And then, of course, the binding power helps with any symptoms of diarrhea. Another thing that the carbohydrates help to do is to soften the stool. And that helps food to move easier in the digestive tract, which will, of course, improve bowel movement, prevent constipation, hemorrhoids, varicose veins, etc. And that also helps to reduce the transit time, which the fiber will keep things moving, and which is what you want. You don't want anything sitting in your gut, in your intestines, rotting. You want it to, once the body is able to get the nutrients and the energy from that food, you want it to move it on out as fast as possible. Because the rotting food produces toxins and carcinogens, and this helps to prevent, for example, colon cancer, as it helps to clean out the colon. Okay, and then, of course, the fiber will fill you up. You will feel full, so you won't feel that you need more. You won't have that low, because you'll be getting a steady supply of glucose, and you'll have a feeling of satiety. Now, you might have heard of a myth that in order to lose weight, you have to stay away from the carbohydrates. And it is, of course, it's a myth, because the body needs the carbohydrates for optimal health and optimal performance. And the reason that carbohydrates do have a bad reputation is because most people are eating the refined carbohydrates. And so they're lacking the fiber. And so people who eat those, they're not satisfied, and they feel like they need to eat more and more. And then they're very dense in calories when they are refined. But if you eat foods the way that God has made them with the fiber, then you'll feel satisfied and you won't feel the need to eat a whole bunch more. And of course, you won't be getting those extra calories, because much of the bulk of the food is the fiber. So if you want to lose weight, then it's important to eat less fat, to eat plenty of the high fiber, the complex carbohydrates, and have an exercise routine. Make sure you're physically active. And if you make this way a way of life, then you'll find that it is the best weight loss program, because you'll be able to eat so many good foods that the Lord has provided us with. Then here's just a few other things that fiber helps with. It increases the serotonin levels, and serotonin is one of the chemicals that gives us a sense of well-being, and helps to slow the aging process. It helps to decrease high blood pressure and many more things. So we're just going to end with a review of what we've learned. We want to eat the foods in as a natural state as possible. We don't want to eat a lot of the refined foods, because, of course, we'll run the risk of those problems. And animal products, I just want to mention that the animal products, whether it's meat or any milk or eggs or any cheese, anything that comes from an animal, they do not have any fiber. So animal products are a refined food, because you're actually getting the carbohydrates or all the nutrients. You're getting it secondhand. The animal already ate it. They've already used the fiber. And so they're also refined foods. It's good to eat raw foods when you can. For example, to eat maybe 50% raw, because when you cook foods, it will break down some of that fiber. Also, the raw foods have more of the vitamins, because some of those are destroyed when the food is heated up. So it's important to include a lot of raw fruits and vegetables in your diet. At least 50% is a good rule. And use the whole grains, whether you're cooking something or baking something. Try to use the whole grains as much as you can. And if the whole wheat does not work so well with that particular recipe, then try to use a mixture of the white and the wheat. And try to use as much of the wheat as you can, of course. And of course, when you buy bread, but it's best to make it homemade. But when you if you have to buy it, make sure you get the whole wheat bread, because you want to get everything whole grain as much as possible. And of course, we want to use the sweeteners sparingly. You have to remember the Bible principle. We just want to use a little. We don't want to use too much. And another thing, rather than using the white sugar, there's other sweeteners. They're all sweeteners, so they all are simple carbohydrates. But honey, molasses, and maple syrup are some of the better sweeteners because, in addition to the sugar, they also contain vitamins and minerals. Honey contains phytochemicals. Molasses contains a lot of iron, a lot of potassium, and other things. So there are other nutrients in addition to the simple sugars in these, whereas the table sugar, the white sugar, is sugar. That's all it is. Another thing you can do is substitute sweets with dried fruit. The dried fruits are very delicious. They're very sweet tasting, and they have fiber, which is very important. For example, dates. Dates have a lot. They're very, very sweet, but they also have a lot of fiber in them. And so the Lord packaged these so that they are more helpful for our bodies to use. And so if you eat things like this, grab a few dates for dessert, you'll find that you don't miss things like candy bars or soft drinks or sodas. The way that God has made things is very, very good. Another thing is to remember to look at the labels. You don't want to just buy things, because most food manufacturers are not interested in your health, but they're interested in your wallet. They want your money, and you don't want to let them to take both from you. So make sure you look at the labels and don't let them take your money and your health from you. And the last thing I have here is to learn to enjoy foods as God has made them. When you make a change in your diet, don't be disappointed if you don't like it right away. You want to stick with it because your taste buds need to adjust to your new diet. And as you stick with it, you'll soon find that you will enjoy these foods more than you enjoyed the foods that you were eating before. When I was younger, for example, I hated bread. I did not like bread at all. When I had any kind of bread for a sandwich, I would just smear as much of the jelly on there as I could so that I could eat the bread. It was just too dry. It was just blah, had no taste, no flavor. But when I changed my diet, I still didn't like it. It still was just kind of bland, but I stuck with it. I knew that this was the Lord's way. This is how He made things. And now, bread, homemade bread, is one of my favorite foods. I love it. I can just have a piece of bread with nothing on it and enjoy it. And grains, the grains are one of my favorite foods. I just love to have granolas and breads and things like that. And especially like the breads toasted also. And another rule is to chew your foods well, because digestion begins in the mouth. And so the more you chew, for example, a piece of bread, the sweeter it will taste, because the starches are breaking down and you'll get some of the sugar sweetness from the bread. So it's good to chew the food well. So we see that God has made for us a wonderful variety of good, delicious, and healthy food. He wants us to enjoy eating, and so we just need to choose our food wisely and eat with a thankful heart. And in Psalm 34, verse 8, it says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." So on that note, we'll close with a word of prayer. Dear Father in heaven, our Lord, we thank You for the foods that You've created for us, that You've designed them for our pleasure and for our health. And Father, as we partake of our daily bread, we can be grateful to You for providing us with the life that is contained therein, Father, and it is a reminder, as every loaf of bread is stamped with the cross of Christ, we live, we breathe, because of the sacrifice of Christ. Otherwise, we would have no opportunity in this world to make a decision for Christ if he had not suffered for our sins. And we just want to praise you, Father, for providing us with everything we need for life and for godliness. And so we pray, Father, as we eat our food, that we will have our hearts lifted up in thanksgiving to our Creator and to our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.